just bow your heads just for a moment. We're going to pray, and then we'll have a seat, and then we'll take communion, and then we'll come back into this. And just, I think today is just a great reminder as we go into communion and remember the work of the cross and remember. I want us to know today just the simplicity of the cross. Sometimes we make so much about everything else, and we miss that it's truly just about Jesus. This amazing work on the cross for us. It's not complicated, it's so simple, but we contaminate and we add so much to it. We add the do's and the don'ts, and the truth is God loved us and sent his only begotten son. Jesus loved us and took on the task to become the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. Willingly, on purpose, laid his life down for us. It's so simple. Church, what happens when you know the depth of this, and it comes once again this morning in realization that it's not about what we have to offer him. It's not about getting more from him. It's not about what have you done for me lately. It's Jesus. It's been enough. Jesus, you owe me nothing. But Jesus, I owe you everything. Jesus, just in this moment, we just honor you and we praise your name. We thank you the cross, and we thank you for the simplicity that you came and you died and you rose again. You've done everything possible, and we are so grateful and we are so thankful. In Jesus' name, go ahead, you may have a seat. And if you would open up your communion cups, please. Look at just the simple form of Romans 3. And you see in Romans 3 where it's just a truly a simple form of salvation. And I'm not saying it's just easy. That which becomes simple, therefore, has to be lived out. But we want to make the cross so complicated. The Bible says this, I love this, Romans 3:23, it says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And church, when you realize that from the very beginning, when everything began to take place in the garden, you had Adam and Eve and they blew it. Because sin is equated to Adam and his failure to lead and his failure to instruct, then sin, because of the disobedience in the garden, it now falls to all mankind. And church, this is not complicated. Every single person who's ever breathed has fallen short because of sin. I love how that kind of evens the playing field, right? We all swim in the same pond of sin. Not one is better than the next. But so what is the, when you see the simple problem is sin, that's the problem. What's the fix to that? The fix is Jesus. And you see this in Romans 3. It says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, which means that Jesus Christ, in his payment, that he was payment, we are redeemed, we have been bought back. There has been a price that has been paid for us. And in that price, we now can claim that we are justified. In that price, by the way, the free gift. Church, we got to get this. The cross in simple form is a gift. That we have now been justified. The word justified, it means that we have now been made innocent. That there will be a day. Come on, church, there will be a day that we stand before the throne of God in judgment, and each one of us who've called on the name of Jesus, who've understood the beautiful work of the cross, that we have nothing to add to it. We can't do anything to understand our salvation, to gain salvation. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by our good deeds. It's not by our church attendance. It's not by our tithes and offerings, that we are only justified and to be found innocent by the precious, beautiful blood of the Lamb. But boy, we complicate it. Well, there's got to be more to the story. No, for all of sin, fall short of the glory of God. The big issue is sin, and the only fix to that sin was that God would put on flesh and send his only begotten Son and put him on a cross. And Jesus says, no one takes my life, but I lay it down. Which means he was willingly going to the cross as the sacrifice and as the payment, as the redemption, which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation. Watch this. That means that God's wrath has been satisfied in his blood through faith. There had to be a blood sacrifice. There had to be shed blood. Blood that was shed. There had to be. There is no other way. If we were good enough, we wouldn't need Jesus on the cross. There had to be blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. So today we come to the table and we are reminded, as Jesus said, remember me, remember this. And church, as we do sing and as we come to where we're at right now in this moment to say, God, have I added anything? I think sometimes we forget that it's Jesus and it's Jesus alone. And we say, Lord, what have you done for me lately? We become takers. And what communion does, it reminds us and puts us back into alignment. That God loves us with such a love that he would send his only begotten Son. And in that, we have been declared innocent by the precious blood of the Lamb. Church, what happens when this becomes a matter of the heart, where you see Jesus in the fullness of the cross and the fullness of our salvation, and our heart just begins to cry out, I owe you everything. You owe me nothing. You've given your life for me. Your grace is enough. For I am truly amazed by your grace. And in this, I know that you owe me nothing, and it is my heart that owes you everything. And then we would respond in love, and we would respond in worship, and we would respond with a heart that is thankful. As we come to the table this morning, we come to a place within our spirit to say, God, I owe you everything. Amazed by the work of the cross, and I thank you that my sins have been forgiven. Jesus, you're the only way. Church, there is no other way. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father only through me. Can you just bow your heads just for a moment, please? And I don't know your background, and I don't know your upbringing in church, but please hear it today. That Jesus Christ is the only answer to salvation. That Jesus Christ took care of our sin issue as the one and only sacrifice that would be acceptable to the Father. It is not anything that we can contribute to gain our salvation. It's Jesus, and it's Jesus alone. And when you understand the depth of Christ's love for you, realize, Lord, you owe me nothing. I have gained everything. I owe you everything. Please hear this, church. He just simply says, just love me back. Just love me back. Just love me back with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind and with all of your strength. Just love me back. Lord, we are before you in this moment to say, Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Church, can you just take a moment and just say, Jesus, I love you. I thank you for the cross. You owe me nothing. I owe you everything. Thank you, Jesus. And in this moment, I would love you with everything I am. Thank you for paying the ultimate price, that there will be a day that I get to stand innocent before the throne. Blood bought, purchased and paid for, that all of my sins have been cleansed and washed away. God, thank you for loving me so much that you would send your only begotten Son. I thank you for our sins being forgiven. And on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, church, please. In the same way, he took the cup and said, there's a new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead, please. Church, would you just stand to your feet, please, just for a moment? And I just want us to close out our time of worship and communion. But I want to set our hearts right before him. So, Lord, it's not what me looking to you say, hey, Lord, what have you done for me lately? It's, Lord, you've done everything for me. I owe you everything, and I'm amazed by you, and I love you. And I want us, please hear this, man. I want us to be, as we sing this, I want us to be in a selfless place. That we need to come before him selfless. We need to come before him not with our agenda. We need to come before him amazed by him. We need to come before him full of love for him. We need to come before him and remove ourselves in that mindset of what have you done for me lately, but this mindset of God, I'm amazed that you love me. I know my sin and I'm amazed that you love me. Jesus, you died for me. Jesus, you took the hit for me. God, your wrath has been satisfied for me. I'm amazed by that. And I'm just here to love you back. I'm here to be amazed by you and just love you back. Let's be selfless in our praise. Let's be selfless in our worship. Man, if you would be in a place that you, if you're comfortable, would you please just raise your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I love you and I'm amazed by you and I come before you selfless, not looking for anything in this moment, but to give you praise and to thank you and to be amazed by you and to worship you. Jesus, thank you for the cross and thank you for our salvation. As we worship you and praise you, we're amazed by you. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Amen. Come on. Yeah.
that this time of worship was so honoring to you. You are so good. A million hallelujahs will never be enough to magnify your name. Even when that's all that we have, Lord, that is what we will bring. And we have nothing else to give. You are so good. Who are we to be loved by you? A love so great, so unconditional. Lord, we thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you that when we call upon your name, you draw near. What a God we serve. You are God and you are good, and we will praise your name all the days of our lives. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Come on, BC, give them praise. Amen. So good. Come on, you may have a seat. Man, what a great moment as we come together just to celebrate the Lord and just celebrate communion. And I don't know, man, I think life just complicates everything, and the enemy wants to walk in deception. And I think there's a sense that the enemy has made the cross so complicated, and really it's not. For all have sinned, and yet God so loved the world. We need a Savior. God provided his Son. That's not complicated. That's not complicated. But so many want to contaminate the cross, and they want to contaminate what it truly means to understand the truth. And this morning I just felt it's so important to just simplify. And to be stunned by his love. Be amazed by his love, that it's stunning, God, that you love me. It's stunning that by your Son dying on a cross and declaring that it is finished, that you were the one time needed, necessary sacrifice for the forgiveness of all mankind and the sin of all man. It's not complicated. It's simple, but we have to believe it and trust in it and be stunned by a love that is so deep for us. And man, in that this morning, if you would turn with me, please, to Galatians 6:9, I want to start there. We're gonna start in a place that I wasn't expecting to start. But I want us to see this as, just in our time of worship this morning, it seemed like worship was, it was some battle songs, you know, out of the ashes, hope arise, and another in the fire. And just in this morning, it was just really put on my heart that maybe it's just honestly for me, but I think it needs to be shared. The Lord was just whispering in that mindset through the worship and through his word that I have brought you this far. Don't give up now. Church, what happens when you see the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that God has brought so far? And they were so strong in their stance. And God says, listen, I brought you this far. Don't give up now. And there's a very well-known passage in Galatians, and it's Galatians 6:9, where this is a fight verse. This is a verse that says, don't quit. This is a verse that says, keep going. This is a verse that says, know your season. But church, what happens when you know, and I believe this is for many, and those even watching online, that God is speaking today, listen, I have brought you this far, don't quit. Be reminded of all the things that I've done. Be reminded of my goodness and my mercy. They follow you all the days of your life. Be reminded that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be reminded that greater is me that's in you than you, than he that is in the world. Be reminded that I've got you this far and don't give up. Man, there was just a fight in my spirit in a beautiful way this morning of worship, going, I'm digging my heels in for people. I'm digging my heels in for people that are struggling. So listen, we're not going to give up. We're not going to let discouragement take over. God, you brought us this far. I'm holding on. I'm digging in. I'm standing firm. And I love this, Galatians 6:9. If you have it in front of you, if not, it says this, let us not lose heart in doing good. Let us not lose heart. Let us not. Let us not. I will not. I will not. I will not lose heart. God, I am doing good. You've got me on it. Yeah, there's a speed bump. Yeah, there's people in the way. Yeah, there's a hiccup. God, yeah, but I am doing good. God, I will not. Listen, I will not lose heart in what doing good. God, I know you've got a plan and a purpose for me. God, I know that I am on target. Yeah, there's frustration. Yeah, there's a stumbling block. Yeah, there's a speed bump. Yeah, there's people in the way. But guess what? Yeah, there's a very real enemy who's trying to get in your grill, who's trying to get in your way to try to put them stumbling blocks before you just to see if you'll quit. What happens when Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaking through Galatians 6:9 today, it says, I will not lose heart in doing good. And I look at what it says, watch this, for in due time, your version may say, in due season, I will reap. Here's the kicker to that whole verse. It's a two-letter word. If I do not grow weary, I will not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, listen, I know that I will reap, but I must not grow weary. I must not give up. Church, there's moments in our, and this is just where we're at this morning, and I believe that here at Believer's Chapel, we don't have a program. We just let God truly run the service, and I just need you to hear this because I think there's so many that have been in a position that you're doing good, and you're doing good, and then you're getting hit, 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 but yet I'm doing good, and then I'm getting hit, and then I'm doing good, and then I'm doing hit, and there's just this sense that says, I'm just going to quit. I think for many this morning here, first service, second service, and online, it just maybe the Lord is telling you, said, listen, I have seen it all. Do not lose heart in what you're doing. Continue to do good. God says that you will reap, that you will reap. When it's time to reap, you will reap. That is a beautiful promise. That is a beautiful promise. If you don't give up. Please just bow your heads just for a moment, and then we'll preach. I was trying to get past this in the first service because I just want to preach. God, we studied a long time. I want to preach. But we got to let God do a work this morning. Because I do believe that this is a real moment for many. Well, the enemy has tried to trip you up. And the enemy has tried to get in your way. The enemy has set traps for you and stumbling blocks, or maybe the unexpected has taken place, and maybe there's things that have nothing to do with the enemy at all, but it's just unexpected hurt and pain. And maybe some of it's even self-induced. We make choices that bear bad consequences, and in that it can be a stumbling block until we come across a moment like this where there is forgiveness and there is repentance and there's that moment where God is saying, listen, I brought you this far. Don't quit on me now. I've got you to where you're at. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, you will reap, and reap means benefit. You will benefit if, here it is, if you do not give up. Amplified says, don't give up. Lord, we just come to you in this very sensitive moment right now. God, thank you. We belong to you. We're your people. And I pray that there would be fight within our spirits today. We know that you see it all. We know you've brought us through so much. And we will not quit on you now. We will hold our ground and we will hold firm to our faith and we will stand firm and we will be strong in you. Man, if you're in this place this morning or even if you're at home and you're watching this, that you would just repeat this within your spirit, not even out loud. But Lord, I will not quit. You have got me this far. And I will not grow weary. I will not grow weary. I will not quit. I will praise you. I will worship you. There will be hope in the ashes. I will shout praise through the issues. I will lift my eyes up to the mountains. For where does my help come? My help comes from the maker of the heavens and the earth. God, we lift our eyes up in the midst where we want to keep our eyes down. But Lord, you tell us to lift our eyes up to you. From where does our help come from? We know that you've got us this far and you will continue. And God, you will always, always do your part, God. And we're amazed by that. And we thank you for your faithfulness. God, you are faithful. God, you are faithful. And we thank you for your faithfulness. We will not quit. We will not give up. And I'm asking that wherever you're at in this, you make it personal. God, I will not give up. Lord, I'm asking for just truly a supernatural strength that is your strength in us that causes us to stand firm. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Woo! Come on, turn to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to have a two-week deal. We're going to speak on this new series, Consistency Brings Victory. This was our first one in. This was going to be a one-week, but we have rearranged today, which is very much amazing and wonderful. So we'll be on this for 2 weeks. We'll finish this next week. In this first part, where this first message under the heading of consistency brings victory is forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is not an option. You see what happens when you begin to say, okay, it's time for me to be consistent. And listen, consistency produces habits. And if you're consistent in bad things, you're producing bad habits. If you're consistent in healthy biblical concepts, then you are building habits of strong, healthy biblical concepts. So when you understand what it means to be consistent, we can be consistent and yet be consistently wrong and be unhealthy. It's a matter of where we're going to put our consistency. If we consistently do dumb things, you're going to get dumb results. If you consistently walk in a manner that is not worthy of God, there's going to be consequences to that. If we are consistently, we are building habits. If you're consistently sleeping until noon and it's Tuesday, maybe you work nights, excuse me. But you know what I'm saying. If you're building bad habits consistently, then you're consistently doing bad habits. But this is the definition of consistency, of what it means to be constant. If you can put that up, please. I want you to see this because it's just simple. To be constant, this is what it means. Unchanging in character. I'm going to be unchanging in character. I'm going to be unchanging in my standards. This is my standards. And I'm going to be unchanging in my convictions. This is what it means to be consistent. If I am consistent and I'm unchanging in my character, I want to have the character of Christ. I want to walk in the character of a Bible character. What is my character? It's being formed by the Word of God. I want to be consistent in my character, being that person of integrity, being that person who holds the great reverence and respect of the God, being that person that my word is truth, being that person, and you look at one that you can trust, you look at one that is faithful, you look at one that is loyal, and I want to be consistent in my character. I love this because another word for consistent is predictable. I want to be predictable. And people will, well, sometimes you got to shake it up, being predictable. No, you don't understand. When you're talking about a man's character, when you're looking at my standard, what we have for our standards, and then you look at what we have for our convictions, wouldn't it be nice to be predictable? Wouldn't it be nice to be in a marriage that you know that you can predict your husband's going to make the right choice because he's based off of this consistency, and there's great victory in our marriage because my husband, he is predictable. That would be amazing. My wife is predictable. She walks into place of respect and awe for her husband. She's predictable. Like, wouldn't it be wonderful to be predictable? And not count that as a bad thing, but count that as a consistent thing, that people know you, that your word is true. That when you say something, it's not exaggerated. When you say something, it's not fluff. When you say something, it's true. You're predictable. That when you say you're going to show up on time, you show up on time. On time for me, and I would love to say my house. I would love to say my house. But for me, on time is a minimum of 5 minutes before, or maybe 10 minutes before. That's being on time for me. I want to be predictable to be early. That's just being consistent. But then you get married. Anyways, she's not here. She had to pick up Ethan. So I mean, good. Don't tell her, though. Don't tell her. 11 o'clock, keep it with me. Bring it in. And every man is like, well, I'm not going to say nothing because my wife is here. But he's on to something. Anyways, here we go. Oh, my wife. Look, they're all pointing at Renee. I see her hat. Like, she's totally hiding in the back. I totally see her hat. She totally got me. I'm in trouble. Honey, forgive me. The message is on forgiveness. Forgive me, honey. Amen. All right, we got Cruz. Oh, I love this. But we've had a great week. And this is, I love doing a ton of research. Obviously, we study. Obviously, we love to read and read and read and study and study, study. But I love listening to interviews from old saints. I had the opportunity to listen to an interview of an 82-year-old saint who was a pastor for many, 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 many years. And it was just great because, listen, I could listen to a 21-year-old out of seminary, or I could listen to an 80-year-old. And I'm saying for me, I'm 52. I could listen to an 80-year-old who's been there and has done that and has taken the hits and has remained faithful. And when you listen to them and say, hey, listen, these are the three things, you're just like, okay, one, two, and three. Let me listen to that again. One, two, and three. Hold on. Let me get that into my spirit, because this is an 82-year-old man who's been there, done that ministry and seen it all. And yet God has blessed and he's moved and he's never quit and he's been so strong. And I want to take from him all the hits that he took. And that man, it's great when you hear him speak from an 82-year-old man on what it means to forgive. And all the people that had to forgive him. And all the people that he had to forgive. And when you see a conclusion in Scripture that if we are going to be consistent, we have to be consistent in our forgiveness. We're going to see this today, that forgiveness is just, it's just not an option for us who believe. It's not an option. And then we had a great moment in our staff meeting. Church, we have a great staff. The Lord has blessed me with an amazing team. Renee and I love our staff. We love our team. And this week, we took a couple minutes, maybe in our staff meeting, we'll either read a leadership book. We're not going through a leadership book right now. I've got a couple picked. I've got to find which one I want to do, but we're going through different devotions. And this week, I'm like, all right, let's just look up forgiveness. Like, let's just take a few minutes in quiet and go to your concordance or go wherever you need to. Let's find some verses and let's just kind of cover, go around our staff and say, what verses are speaking to you on forgiveness? And we took, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes or whatever it was, maybe more, and just went around from person to person and say, this is the verse that I found, and this is the verse that I found, and this is the verse that I found. And it was a great moment. To just go around the room and talk just about forgiveness. And you look at, if you would please, turn with Ephesians chapter 4. I think you're there, and it says this, 32. This was one of the verses that came out in our little time this week, and it says this, be kind to one another. Well, that sounds simple, right? Be kind to one another, tenderhearted. Forgiving each other. Here it is. Watch this. Forgiving each other. Just as. Man, if you got your Crayolas or you got your Bible markers, if you have a pen, or if you're on your phone and you can do something on your phone to Bible mark this verse. Just as. Highlight that, underline that, circle that. Just as. So we are called to forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave you. So as you know, man, as we preach, I've said many times, as you're reading the scripture and you're diving into the Word of God, ask questions. Ask questions. If I am commanded here to forgive each other, again, not an option, forgive each other. Well, how do I do that? You're supposed to do it just like God in Christ forgave you. Well, come on, isn't that like, woo, he's God, I'm not. Like, isn't that kind of a tall order? Doesn't that, Sean, seem like that's a little out of balance? That you're telling me, that you're saying the Bible is saying that I'm supposed to forgive this person, but do you know the wrong that they've done? You know how deep it goes? You know how long it lasted? You're telling me that I'm supposed to forgive them? The same way that I've been forgiven by God, that's what you're saying? I'm not saying that. The Holy Spirit through Paul is saying that. God is saying that. Do you know what the amazing thing about reading scripture is? Please hear me. He will never command you to do something that you cannot do. You can't read scripture and say, nope, I can't do that. Nobody can do that. There's no way. You're not allowed to do that, church. You're not allowed to read scripture when God Almighty says, listen, you have the ability to do this. Nope, not doing it. No, that's your choice not to do it. But if you do it in him, you have the ability to do it. So when the Bible says, I love this, I love Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, I call it the change chapter. Ephesians 4 is the change chapter. It's this is who I was, and then there's Christ, and this is who I am now. There's so much of what I used to be compared to what I am now. Ephesians 4 is brilliant. Read it when you have time. Ephesians 4, this is who I was, and then there's Christ, and then this is who I am now, which means there's been change. Right? And God by his Spirit will never tell you to do something that you cannot do. God does not play games with us. I love that. You ever been around somebody who they put the carrot before the horse and it's just the horse never gets the carrot. The horse never gets, works and works and works and works and works and the horse never gets a carrot and it's just a game. That is not our God. God will never tell you that you have to do something and then you're not able to do it. Church, when you understand that when you really need to walk in true forgiveness, this becomes supernatural. Because when you begin to break down Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, and forgive each other just as God in Christ has forgiven you. The question is this, how has God forgiven me? If I am having the ability to forgive just like God forgave me, then what does he say about his forgiveness to me? Micah 7:19 says this. We're going to go through a few scriptures here. I want you to see this. That he will again have compassion on us. Forgiveness starts with compassion. He will again have compassion on us, or the word mercy. Mercy and compassion, interchangeable. He will again have compassion. He'll have mercy on us. And he will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, I love that. Yes is like this exclamation point. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes. Like you can see where there's some excitement about. Yes, you will cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. Yes, you will cast. What do you do with my sin? God says, I've cast it in the depths of the sea. Church, how many times do we go fishing for our sins? Julie, you see this verse and say, okay, God, you cast. Your version may say, and he throws down. I love this picture of God and him throwing down, casting our sin into the depths of the sea. Come on, church, we're not allowed to go fishing for sin. How about this? If we're supposed to be like God in this, just like he has forgiven us, what happens when we are called to forgive another? That we would throw it down. But I think the strongest relationship that God has ever created is between husband and wife. And how many times that we say that I have forgiven you, but yet later on a different time, in a different argument, we pull out the fishing pole. Do you remember when? Yeah, but we remember we buried that in the depth of the sea. Why you got a fishing pole in your hand? And an amazing, and I love this because we have been forgiven of so much. But God is never going fishing again for my sin. Church, we're called to forgive each other just as God in Christ has forgiven us and he has cast it in the depths of the sea. Hebrews 8:12, please, if you could put that up. I want you to see this. For I will be merciful. There's that word again. Isn't it amazing that compassion and mercy come before forgiveness? What happens when your heart becomes tender? What happens when your heart becomes merciful? What happens when your heart has compassion? Watch this. Has compassion for somebody who's wronged you. What happens when your heart has all of a sudden, where there used to be this hard heart, it used to be this, you used to just want to fight, and you used to just want to, what happens when that heart now has a compassion for somebody who's wronged you? For I will be merciful to their iniquities. Watch this. This is huge. And I will remember their sins no more. Please hear me. This doesn't mean that God has forgot your sin, in which I'm drawing a blank. I forgot what you did. We have a God, one true living God, Almighty God, who knows everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. The depth of this word, watch this. This is huge. This is, he chooses not to bring them back to memory. He chooses not to bring them up again. I want you to just think about relationships. I want you to think about people that you're close to, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, brothers, sisters, moms and dads, whatever category you fall into in that, and even close relationships and friendships. What would happen if we just looked at this verse and say, if I'm truly going to forgive just like God in Christ forgave me, that when I forgive you, we're not going to bring it up again. Because the reality is of the I will remember their sins no more, like, church, it's not like somebody has wronged you terribly or violated you terribly that you'll ever really truly forget that. That's not what that means. That means I'm not going to bring it up again. Sean, that seems difficult. Sean, that seems close to impossible. Are you kidding me? Well, without the Holy Spirit, I would say that it would be. But this is supernatural forgiveness. This is a forgiveness that you have to get into your spirit today that says, this is not an option. This is not an option. Because the truth is this, is when you walk in unforgiveness, that just does something ugly to your spirit. It does something bad to you. And when we look at being consistent in our forgiveness, church, what we need to realize is that frees us. I love this part of this is you have to do your part. Because somebody could wrong you and hurt you and never ask for forgiveness and never repent. Their ego got in the way. But does that still mean that you still yet have to forgive them? Why? That frees you. And this is my hope. This is my hope for this week and next week, that when we're in this first topic, number one is forgiveness, and that's not an option. But today and next week, that maybe there's just sense of a very real spiritual release. That you really biblically can forgive. And please hear me, forgiveness and trust are different. Each time I speak on forgiveness, I remind people to forgive somebody is different from trusting somebody. If somebody violates you or your kids, man, you can forgive them. That's a must, but I'm not going to trust them. That's unwise. There has to be wisdom and there has to be a proper, healthy, biblical balance between forgiveness and trust. Huge difference. Huge difference. But we are called to release. The word forgive, it means to pardon. It means to release. I release that wrong done. But I'm not going to trust you with my kids again. That's unwise. So how do you know when you've really forgiven somebody? How do you know that I am now walking in a supernatural forgiveness to say, God, this has been so hard and there's been so many wrongs done and this person just keeps going and they keep going and they keep going and they just keep hitting and they just keep hitting and they just keep, and God, I'm just struggling with this forgiveness thing because I don't want to forgive. I want to hold it. And I want to be bitter and I want to be mad and I want to be angry and I want to. How do you know, church, when you've truly walked in a forgiveness just as Christ has forgiven you? And this is my personal test, is that when someone has wronged me and have deeply hurt me, when I see them in Stuff Mart, I don't have that, in your spirit. Maybe it's different for you, but you know, someone who's wronged you and like you know that they've wronged you and they've hurt you and you see him in Stuff Mart or you see him wherever you're at, and when you see him, something just wants to scream in your spirit. Have you been there? Maybe I'm the only one, but there's that I want to go the other way, or I want to go on the other aisle. I'm not saying I've ever thought about this, but you could throw a can. I probably wouldn't do that, but I'm just saying. Then I know I haven't truly forgiven, right? Someone just threw a can and hit me in the head. I don't know. But when that oomph isn't there anymore and you actually now have had a heart of compassion for that person, there's the change. There's the change. And that brings healing for you. And that brings a release for you. That you're freeing yourself from the bondage of unforgiveness. Okay, so I'm supposed to pardon and I'm supposed to release and I'm supposed to forgive in the same way that God has forgiven me through Christ. It starts with a compassion. And it starts with mercy. bury it in the depths of the sea. And we choose not to bring it up again. Come on, I just want to close with Matthew 6, and we'll come back to this next week. Matthew 6 and Luke 7. We'll hit this next week. Please don't miss next week. Bring a friend, bring somebody to the 11 o'clock. Church, this is a season that people could be freed. This is a season that it takes a supernatural work to really forgive a serious wrong done. And the bigger the problem, the bigger the wrong done against someone is, the deeper the forgiveness has to go in a release. I never sat down and counseled anybody that says, listen, I was driving and somebody cut me off in traffic. I'm dealing with this. I can't forgive them. Don't, dude, relax. Like, there's a lot of lanes. Figure something out. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, if that upsets you, But we do deal with people with very serious, deep, deep hurts. That there is some very much deeply wrong done. Sean, do you mean you have to forgive? I mean, I have to forgive them of this? It's not an option. It's not an option. And we see it in Matthew 6, and we'll get into this more next week, but it says this in verse 14. Again, this was another verse brought out by the staff. It says this, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's good news, right? God forgives. We're amazed by that. High five the Holy Spirit, like, woo, I'm forgiven. This is amazing. God, thank you. And we praise him for it. We're amazed by the bloodshed. We're amazed by the forgiveness of sins. And we're just like, yes, we're jacked about it. We're juiced about it. We're pumped about it. Verse 14, I love it, man. If I forgive others their transgressions, God's going to forgive me. I get it. Boom. But, verse 15, but if you do not forgive others, but if you do not forgive others, but if you do not forget others, get it. Watch this. Your heavenly Father will not forgive you. What? Church, when you see forgiveness is really, it's a really big deal. It's a really big deal to the Lord. Shauna, if you tie your hands and you don't forgive others, then guess what? You're tying my hands. And I can't forgive you. Yeah, but Lord, this was a big thing. Sean, you need to forgive them. You need to release it. Yeah, but they've never asked for forgiveness. They've never even said they were sorry. Sean, you need to forgive them. Church, have you truly, in every one of your sins that you committed, even just this morning, have you asked God to forgive you? Could you imagine the day-to-day, the hour-to-hour, the day-to-day, the week-to-week, the month-to-month of the sins that we have missed? Aren't you glad? Aren't you so glad that we don't have a God that's checking boxes every time I blow it? That we are beautifully forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. You mean, Lord, I'm supposed to forgive them for that? Sean, it's not an option. Forgiveness is a really big deal to the Lord. It's not an option. Come on, if you just bow your heads, please. We'll continue this next week. And thank you for your patience today. Thank you for just allowing God by His Spirit to move in a special way through worship and communion. Two things, never quit. Do not give up. God has got you this far. Don't quit on him now. And number two, forgive. Just as you have been forgiven in the same way. Lord, we just close out in a song and we just ask you for strength to be able to forgive. I pray that we are reminded again how you have forgiven us, and we're amazed by that, and we love that. But Lord, I pray as we're reminded of that, we put it to work as we forgive one another. Our spouse, our parents, our children, our brothers, our sisters, our friends. Lord, our enemies. Our enemies, we forgive them. Man, I just need you to hear this, please. I think it's easier to forgive your enemies than your wife or your husband. Why is that? Why is it easier to forgive your enemies than it is to forgive the one you're called to love the most? Lord, help us to forgive. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing. And let's just put this in your heart as we sing. And just ask God, what have you spoke me to do? Come on.